podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional. Lamella will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run! Heung-min Son from inside his own half has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
The joys of new noble. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is another Touchline Hotspur pod under the Touchline Fracker banner, courtesy of the NSO. Coming to you live on a nice Thursday evening. Firstly, Dave, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. A little bit under the weather, but yeah, surviving, do you mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean. You work with kids as well, right? This bug's been tough on
the air. Yeah. It's that week in end of September. I've been back for a couple of weeks. Things start going around and, you know, gets a bit messy.
No one pre-warned me about this until I was in bed for about 18 hours the other day. It was tough. I don't need to go into that either. Sorry, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It feels like ages. I think the last time I was around was for the live show. Some violence, you know. Kevin Nash in the building.
That was some brilliant violence, some brilliant bows as well, man. But yeah, you had the move, you got the fresh internet, and you're back. It's looking good.
Yeah, we're getting there. Still a bit of work to do, but we're here. This is the tester.
And we certainly are. And yeah, I'll be your host, Owen, aka X-Pack, after Dave's lovely hosting the other week. Yes, last week, saying that. Absolutely blew me out of the water, to be honest, because really and truly smashed it.
So vice-captain duty, yeah?
Listen, when the main man's out, Son's got to step up. You know what I mean?
I got some words for that main man too.
Exactly. I thought that was me then. Definitely not. That was Tobes is on his other stream. I think he's on at 10 o'clock. So if there's some streamers in here that want to head over to the THFC show with Fuad, then yeah, there'll be some violence on there again for sure. But I guess we got to get into the Chelsea game. Second 3-0 loss in a row with some Nuno ball, but we went into the game unexpectedly looking quite positive in our lineup, despite for the first time in a few years, it's felt like going into a home game against Chelsea, I actually expected to lose. And it crept on me as the game got closer and closer. And I realized like the dynamics changed back to how it was when we were younger fans. Like, shit, like we're actually so far behind now in such a short space of time. Like, I actually expected to lose, expected a kind of negative lineup, but Nuno came in quite aggressive and let's actually try and take the game to them, at least in the first half. I guess, Si, what did you initially think of the lineup? And I guess the first half performance, we'll just focus on that one for now, shall we?
Yeah, sure thing. So as some of you might know, I'm not the type to assess a lineup. I need to see the football on the pitch before getting too excited or too down about things. We have what we have. What we have isn't very good. So that's my general sort of approach to it all. Obviously, we did play pretty much every attacking player that we have at our disposal currently. So we saw Lo Celso, we saw Ndombele, we saw Son, we saw Kane. There was some buoyancy around the fan base. I, for one, didn't really see how any of it was going to work on the pitch. I expected to see a diamond. I didn't see a diamond. I expected to see Lo Celso play in midfield. He played up top. It was a bit of a mess. But on the pitch, we looked aggressive. We were pressing. We looked like we wanted to play some football. And that to me is a welcome departure from what we've grown to know from quote-unquote Nuno ball. So yeah, man, it was positive in the first half. And I actually felt we were good value to have maybe created a few more chances. But then the second half happened.
Conte happened.
Yeah.
I even tweeted from the account as well, like, at half time. I was just like, as soon as they bring on Conte, like, we are going to get locked off with ease. Like, I didn't expect Tuchel to bring him on at half time, so credit to him for that. Even like the stat before the game for Nuno Ball in the Premier League, his teams have failed to score, this before the game, have failed to score in 83 of his last 118 Premier League games, which is insane. So, I mean, for all the intent, we couldn't get it done. I felt like we actually created a fairly a few good chances, like the Lo Celso through to Son. If he was a bit sharper, he probably would have taken that first time on his left foot. Lo Celso actually had another good chance where it fell to him in the box and he just scuffed it with his right foot. I felt that the attacking intent with the fullbacks was particularly positive. Like, I felt like Reguilon could have done a lot better with his opening. Just getting him in that position was positive. But again, hindsight is a beautiful thing. If he shot, it probably would have forced a save or even been spilled to go across goal. And Emerson Royale, I think he held his own in that first half as well. And for him to, you know, have his kind of second game as his baptism of fire, he didn't do too badly, and he done better than, I guess, what another certain right back would have done. So I thought that was positive.
I can't let you get that one off. I can't lie, man.
Go for it.
It's early doors, right? And
because I'm talking that, just his first half. Like, as far as I'm concerned, as soon as Conte went on the pitch, the game was over.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, man. Like, I know a section of our fan base are chomping at the bit to have something to say about another young black boy in the squad. As soon as he stops smiling, it's curtains for man. They're going to say, oh, his work ethic, blah, 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 blah. But that's a conversation for another day. And that's an inevitable conversation that will occur. But I've seen this guy in two games not attempt a single take on. And I don't know if anyone else has clocked it, but he's fucking coward. He's a coward. Like, and it's irritating because you look at, like, the sort of pathway to actually getting him. And he wasn't on anyone's radar, and he's not actually played a game for Barcelona. So a lot of the sort of hype around him and the excitement for a so-called attacking right back, the guy is totally unproven. And as far as I've seen so far, he's not better than Aurier. He's not. There's not a single thing I've seen in those two games that suggests that he is as aggressive as Aurier, as strong as Aurier, as attacking intelligent as Aurier. He doesn't seem to have anything about him on defense either. So I don't really see anything in two games. It is only two games. But I don't see anything in the small sample size to suggest that he is in any way, shape or form an improvement on what we had.
No, it's probably true, to be honest. Has
he performed anywhere near as good as Tanganga on either in going in either direction?
No.
Interesting take. You know what? I agree. He is unproven. And it's almost like the best of a bad bunch. I mean, really, you'd want him to be the worst of a good bunch. You know, you'd want him to maybe hold down some of the Conference League games, and have an out-and-out, you know, top-level right-back. But we don't have that, and we're not going to attract that on the last day of the window. I think, I know we've spoken about the window already, so I'm not going to get into that. It's interesting that you said that we had pretty much every fit attacking player on the pitch. The stats show that we had 8 shots in total. Right? So we have as much attacking talent as we can muster, apart from maybe Brian Heal, who would probably do more than Ali would do going forward. But we have, you know, a potent, quote-unquote, attacking impetus going forward, and we muster 8 shots in 90 minutes when Chelsea managed about 20. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely ridiculous. There's like no balance in this team. And that's why we're, you know, we play in patches. We can only, you know I said last week I wasn't going to watch it and I didn't end up watching it because I was out. I'm glad I didn't waste my time. I did have it on record just in case we sprung a miracle. But as soon as I got home, I deleted it. but yeah, it's one of the ones where, you know, like I said, the lineup comes out and everyone, there's a little bit of a buzz. Son's back. And Ndombele starting, for those of us who actually rate Ndombele, because, you know, there's some fans who still can't see past his the way he runs or whatever the case may be. But yeah, like it was one of the ones where you see the lineup, you think, oh, okay, cool. But that lasted for just the first half. Do you know what I mean? Like, and we saw it again. We'll get onto the Wolves game. Like, we just play well for a bit and then it just drops completely off. And when it drops off, oh my word, That's when you realize this team is not set up to. You know, sometimes you go into a season and you think, okay, we're not going to challenge for the league. We're going to challenge for top four. Maybe we're a cup team. You know, you win one game a month, get your FA Cup win. I don't even see that, because at the moment, I can't see us being a 90-minute team. We're literally 25 and then we drop off. And you get a little 10-minute burst here and there. And if we don't score in those periods, then it's curtains. And teams like, you know, we don't have to go to like Chelsea and Man United or whatever, but teams like Wolves will pick us off, like we saw yesterday. So, yeah, I know Morty the Hotspur is saying that we're challenging. But I love your positivity, but even me, I'm a praying man. And I'll be a miracle. But listen, I weren't ready for that. It's not happening. And the style, like you said, failing to score in 80-odd games out of 120 or something like that. That's like 75%.
It's pretty much the reverse of Jose. Jose's team's only playing the second half and we only play in the first.
That's mad. It's actually mad.
Well, no, it's the flip, sorry. Jose's team always scores in the first half and do fuck all for the rest of the game.
We just can't put together a body of work. That's all. Exactly. Essentially, no body of work.
You get a foreplay right and that's it.
Boy.
That's not me, but, you know. it's disappointing so far because... obviously, no one wanted Nuno. He wasn't on anybody's lips going into. Well, there were rumors of it quite early on, as soon as he became available. But I thought that was just media talk, and I wish it was, because I've seen absolutely nothing so far, other than the fact that he's as bald as I am to suggest that he has anything about him. That's it. That's the only thing hanging on to it, is similar complexion and no hair. Outside of that, I don't see anything that embodies the Tottenham DNA, other than the fact that every game is like a crapshoot of, are we going to turn up or not? That's literally the only part of it that suggests anything of what Levy was speaking about. So
it's interesting you say that. You know, you think about his Wolves team, right? You know, you've got Jimenez, obviously Jota was there. They've got a really functional midfield. And he's got Traore. Now, obviously, there's a, you know, everyone likes watching Traore, but he has absolutely no end product. Okay? He has less GA than Lamella, right? And that's Nuno Ball literally in a player. Like, you might want to go and watch it, or maybe you won't want to watch it, but there's actually no end product. Like, there's nothing coming from it, you know? And so even when we were linked with Traoré, it's like everyone started putting the stats around how many goals, you know, you contributed to, all that kind of stuff. It just makes me realise, actually, he was a product of the system, you know? And I see it in some of the way we play, not just, you know, yesterday, but, you know, think about last week with the Rennes game. Like, we have moments where we're putting the ball in the right places, da, 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 and then it just falls flat. And when it does, we're so horrible, out of shape. There's no cover here, there's no cover there, or you're playing players like Davies and number two, so you're going to be horrible as it is. But I feel like everyone's figured us out now. Go down the flanks, cross the ball, and if that doesn't work, get a set piece and put your best player on one of our midfielders, because they're not going to do anything.
Mad. I want to, like, I'm not even saying that I'm giving Nuno time or stocks or whatever, but it looks like he's, from pre-season anyway, and from what I can tell, he's tried to coach, like, quick interplay, especially with the front three going forward, and he's tried to implement somewhat of a counter-press to help us actually sustain pressure. And it's only really since just before the Chelsea game he's had most of the squad back. Like, this is Bart Bergwijn and Lucas Moura. Obviously, we've had that international absolute cock-up, a load of injuries, players wanting moves away. But now everyone's back, everyone's actually in training, he can work. Is there any hope that he can implement these things and it being a positive thing for us going forward? Because we really and truly need it now, because this is when the excuses are going to dry up and we're going to all have to be on his neck, unfortunately. Like,
inshallah is literally all I can say, because I can't lie. There were a couple of things early on in the season which gave me some sort of positivity, because you can tell that he is trying to instill some defensive discipline into the team. We keep our shape relatively well, and I'm not opposed to us not pressing so high up the pitch, because inevitably, like, that would mean that one ball would usually kill us. And I'm glad to not see that. I like the fact that our front three sit quite narrow when engaging the opposition, because again, it forces you out wide. But
if you force teams out wide, is that what you want? Like,
and that's the thing. That's the thing. Normally you would, because it enables you to set traps. It enables you to double up or triple up on ball carriers, and you can win the ball back. And then with Kane and Son occupying central spaces, you're like, all right, cool. You've got something there. You have the ingredients of a counter-attacking team. But my, oh my, when you've got Lo Celso on the right-hand side with Emerson, who for me just doesn't want to engage at all, he's frigid. And then you've got Reguilon on the other side. You got Reguilon on the other side, who, for me, I don't know what's happened to him. Like, that injury has just fucked him. Like, the guy's head is gone. Like, I don't see any benefit to him in the team at the minute. And that
it's actually always gone. His head, he's always on the edge. It's crazy.
It's nuts. It's nuts. And then you've got Sasanyong and flipping Davis as backups. It's mad. Like, I've never been this despondent about our fullbacks since, I'd say, around before Lee Young-pyo.
What?
Literally that far.
Stalteri, them guys there.
I'd take Stalteri in this situation over them, man.
I'd take Chimbonga
and Stalteri over what we have. Outside of Tanganga, that right-hand side is scary hours for me. On the left-hand side, I don't know which guy deserves to start, but none of them deserve to stay on the pitch once they're on it. Like, every single game, I'm like, make a fullback sub. We shouldn't be in that situation.
Yeah, I think with Reguilon, yeah, he's obviously dropped off since the first half. And for me, I feel like he plays better in a team that's trying to play on the front foot, which we're not trying to do. We're trying to play counter-attack. So his best play has always been in, you know, as an attacking fullback, you know, when it starts from the halfway line up. The way we're sitting, right? We're sitting too far deep. And I think, you know, like I think I might mention in the group, you're starting, you're trying to do a counter-attack football when Kane is like on the edge of his own box. So, I mean, like, and I know you can say, oh, that's partly to do with Kane and lack of creativity in the middle, whatever things may be. But like, you're not even setting up the team to its strengths. Like, Son is the only player, and maybe Moura, but Son definitely is the only one who really would thrive in counter-attacking football because, you know,
the only one. Goes,
he's off. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, when he gets it, he can beat a man, he can beat two men, he can score from inside the box, outside the box, both feet, do you know what I mean? So he's got that. Kane can score like that, but Kane ain't got no legs. He's never had that. And then he's had an ankle injury every year for the past decade or whatever. So, like, it's stupid trying to play counter-attack football when, one, your best player is not suited to that style of football, and two, you're then going to set up your team to be sitting like... I saw it last night. Our centre-backs were literally like three paces outside of their own box. And this is when we had the ball. Like, they were just there. No one's... You know, back in the day when you played grassroots football and it says halfway line, you know, come up to the halfway... Nah, they weren't interested. They weren't interested in playing on the halfway line. Do you know what I mean? Call it amateur, call it schoolboy, whatever the case may be. But the fact that he's got us playing so deep and then trying to do counter-attack football, it's like this halfway house of ideas, which is not working. And I think that's why, and that's why we can't sustain anything, you know, beyond 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You know, it just doesn't work, you know. Just doesn't work.
Yeah, we can talk about this comment from Gojira as well, because I was going to go into, you know, just Kane in a little bit more depth, because, you know, he did play a lot deeper in almost like in a kind of left wing role against Chelsea. As Yao would say, Harry Mook Kane.
yeah.
Like, that, I mean, how
Harry
how
much fucking Kane means something different nowadays, I'll tell you that. No one.
And at this point, I mean, how much of it is his perceived physical decline, which I believe he is in at least a little bit of a physical decline, on how much of it is essentially the play style we have. I'm not really thinking it's so much his kind of motivation to play for us at this point. I know he's a slow starter traditionally.
Word?
Right, it's looking like I want to believe before the North London Derby.
It's looking like a fucking attitude problem.
No, Owen, I'm sorry. I think we need to let Sai go.
A factor as well. That's a factor as well. Okay, so how much of it is essentially how much he still wanted his move, he's in the physical decline, and how much of it is essentially our play style just not suiting him? Because like you said, Dave, and I was thinking about this the other day as well, Son is probably our only good counter-attacking player. One player that's ultimately properly suited to it, and we don't play to the rest of the team's strengths.
I can't even prescribe that to Harry. I can't not after a season where he scored what 27 assisted 17 goals or whatever it was, 27 and 13, something silly like that. He was playing counter-attack all last year. We were popping the ball to him. He was taking two touches and it was an assist. We loved it. We gassed over it. It was counter-attacking football at its best. So we can't put our Harry capes on now when the motherfucker don't want to be here. The fact of the matter is Harry Kane has down tools on Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, and we have to come to terms with that. Like, the fact of the matter is we've seen people over the last couple of years, especially with Tongi Ndombele, with the host of reasons that he could have to be in disgruntled at this football club, coming in to a project that fast became something totally different, having a manager who plays a progressive style to not having a manager that wants to play any sort of football whatsoever, to now having a guy who can't even hold either one of those mandem's bags. He's not even good enough to be an assistant coach for Pochettino or Jose, realistically, in terms of credentials and things. So you've got that guy. Then you've got the guy who is supposedly a model professional, supposedly loves the football club, supposedly has a right to leave because we haven't won, but hasn't scored in any finals, hasn't turned up in a big game in maybe about two seasons, realistically, who has put his individual accomplishments and his optic of being the main man and the talisman of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club to basically put pressure on the manager to play him in a final that he wasn't fit for, the biggest match of our lives. Fuck this guy, man. Like, that's where we're at with it, because at the end of the day, if you don't want to be here, cool, but do your fucking job. Do your job. As the man who wears the armband, do your job. As the guy who came up through the youths, do your job. As the guy who has not won anything in his career, like, not a sniff, nothing. You're not a proven winner. You struggle to win football matches at this current moment. So reinvigorate the situation, earn your move away, because you will get your move if you perform. Otherwise, you're going to be here for another 5 years anyway. No one's going to pay 120 mil. No one's going to pay 150 mil for you. No one's going to pay 90 mil for you if you keep playing the way you're playing. So knuckle down, do your fucking job, man. That's it. That's literally it. At this point, I'm tired of hearing any excuse for Harry Kane, because we've all done it. We've all done it. We've all said the standard of player around him isn't good enough. He played with players that were part of Belgium's golden generation. He played with a world-class performing Dele Alli and Harry and Christian Eriksen in terms of the numbers, in terms of the performances. He played with the two best fullbacks in the country. The fuck are we talking about? He's not had the resources to win. What are we on about? Now when he's around dog shit, he looks the worst player. He looks the worst player on the pitch. Fuck this shit, yeah, man. Like, I'm tired of it. Like, I'm tired of talking about Kane. Seriously. Like, play somebody else. Because this is the first time in the time where he's been prominent for this football club where the phrase, we play better without Harry Kane, is actually true.
Fair play. I mean, yeah, there we go. I mean, I still feel like at this point, the counter-attacking football, the point you made on that, and, you know, he did get his record number of assists and goals in the Premier League last season. That's true. I mean, the bulk of that came at a point where teams didn't really know how to defend against it, and we easily got sussed out after a while. I still think even since then, he's physically declined. I think, like, weirdly enough, playing after that Liverpool game so soon after he'd done what looked like both of his ankles, added on top of what he seems to do time and time again, which is never really hold himself back. Even though he speaks in this Gary Neville interview, like he's got this Tom Brady and Cristiano Ronaldo level of recovery. And I don't see that as much. So
he's not pressed in three seasons. I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear it. You're brittle. You're like fucking Pink Panther wafers. Like, it is what it is. You don't have to be as dynamic as you were. You just have to put in some form of intelligence to your game if you're physically not able to do what you used to do. And we're not seeing either of it. We're stuck in this halfway house where realistically it's like, what are you doing on the football pitch at this point? Like, you're dropping deep to play 5-yard passes. Like, what the fuck is that? It makes no sense. At least ping it like a Rooney. Just give us a highlight. Give us a highlight or something. But you're not doing anything. You're just standing around at this point and collecting your bag.
I think the whole the reality of the situation is now, you know, like Tops just said in the comments, you know, Kane's looking so funny in the light. I think the whole club is looking funny in the light in that respect. Like, we realise how much of a system had to be put in place to get the most out of these players. You know, I think we mentioned the tweet last week, or maybe it was just in the group chat, about Dele Alli. You know, the tweet that went a little bit, you know, had a bit of buzz around it, where they're saying, like, Christian Eriksen made Dele Alli. You know, having a secondary ball player, having someone who can actually do the creating and you're just finishing, made Dele Alli into what he was. Do you know what I mean? And he was putting up better numbers, you know, in those 2-3 years than Lampard, Gerrard, or maybe that kind of thing. But now look at him. You know, the system was what made him. The system made, you could say, the system made Kane. You know, everything was set up to play to his strengths and cover his weaknesses. Like, he's never had pace. Like, out of that pace. He can't. He's got one little shimmy and a nutmeg. That's all he does. The same shimmy. Si, you'll appreciate it. It's like LeBron when he's going to take a three, and he looks at his hand, and then he just takes that three. Like, it's the same dumb move, but it gets played every so often. He wins a foul, etc., etc. But when the system is falling apart, he ain't got it. And we see that in finals. We've seen it in big games. We've seen it in the second half of seasons over the past few years. And we're seeing it now. You know, the system's broken. And like I said, he's dropping 20 yards to play a five-yard pass. It's interesting, though. His goal last night, he was on the guy's shoulder. He was on the centre-back's shoulder.
First time I've seen him do that in years.
First time I've seen it in a while, but what happened was, as a whole team, they were playing a bit further forward. Yep. So now it's like, all right, Ndombele, we trust you to be on the ball, beat a man, and pick a pass, right? Mm-hmm. Now, okay, you can't do that when you've got Winks and other players on the pitch. Sorry, Owen. No, it's your twin brother, but like,
that's nasty. you lot bring up Winks every pod, and my man ain't touched pitch in two games, man.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
You walked into that.
But Ndombele gets on the ball and he can play that pass. Right? Ali played the pass yesterday for the goal. But it's interesting that Kane was on the man's shoulder. And I think that's where he needs to just realise, actually, you know what? That's where you're at, brother. You know,
the last time we saw him do that.
Do you know what I mean? And he's like, right, just get it to me. And if I can trust that he can get it to me, I'll do the rest. That'll be better on his ankles, be better on his fitness. The guy is tired. He's played like every summer, you know, in the past few years, he's had time. And yeah, it's a bad cocktail of different reasons why he's dropped off in terms of his performances. And I think the stats last year hid a lot of the decline, if we're honest. Do you know what I mean? Like, he might have got 13 assists, but he got 4 in one game in the second game of the season. So, like, I get it, but, you know.
It's an interesting one. Like, as pissed as I am with Kane, right, at the end of the day, I agree with your point about he might have just benefited from the system. But I don't think that's not a negative to me. Like, Nasser Chadli was scoring double-digit goals in that system.
Get me? So, the system is bigger than any one player.
And that's the pertinent point. It's like guys like Harry Kane, within this sort of aura that they occupy, should at some point in time when we are at our lowest of low, show that they are bigger than the system. And he's not doing that at a big enough clip at present for me to have the patience that I would if he was. Like, at the end of the day, like, he's been dawdling around on the pitch and has done himself no favours speaking to fucking Gary Neville in that interview and all of that stuff. And the Instagram post or Twitter post or whatever, all of that stuff just irks me because it's like, we see it so often in other sports, in other sort of situations, where if the optics are a little bit different, those guys get flamed to blood clot. Like, and I usually stick up for that. But now I'm starting to look at the situation and I'm like, all right, if the bias is going to be what it is, then let me counterbalance that. Because at the end of the day, this guy is the prototypical poster boy for let's just give him the world, even though he's not really been deserving for his whole career. I don't care what anyone says. Like, Raheem Sterling for the last decade has been the guy for England. He's been the guy. Build around him. Market around him. Marcus Rashford is in GCSE curriculums now. Like, build around him. Support that. All this fucking Harry's Kane bullshit, man. I'm tired of it, man. Like, the guy is great. The guy is great in his own right. But just like everybody else in our team, he has not won anything. So you can't give him the world if he hasn't earned it. And ultimately, he hasn't earned it. So my patience for him is as far as it would have went for Adebayor or Gareth Bale at his time or Berbatov or whoever's banging in the goals at any given moment. We give him a bit of grace, but once they leave, we're like, oh, who cares? Did fuck all. And that's where I'm at.
damn. You wouldn't think that the overarching thing for me was like, do you not think at least a more front footed system? Obviously, we wouldn't be able to control games on the front foot against certain teams, but a more front footed game would suit players like Kane, especially, and Ndombele as well. We'll get onto him, but obviously players like him, obviously a lot more, especially with the inability when you're dropping deep and you can't attack space in behind in time because our team's already tried to counter-attack. Because effectively, all I see, even though he had a more positive performance against Wolves, and we'll get into that as well, I just always see players kind of trying to treat the ball like a hot potato, other than Ndombele, Skip, and probably Hill, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Do you think that's by design?
Yeah, I think it's by design. I think if you look at our pre-season, the way we set up in pre-season, without some of those players, and without Brian Heath, without Ndombele, there was a lot of just, you know, picking things off, and we profited off mistakes by teams that weren't in our quality, as it were. You know, we played I can't remember who we played now, like an Ipswich or Millwall, whatever, you know, whoever we played, they were lower league teams. They make those mistakes. Moore's pounce on to loose passes, this, that, and the third. It's clear to see our better players play better when they're higher up the pitch. Do you know what I mean? If Ndombele is picking up the ball 5 yards outside the 18-yard box, as good a player as he is, that's not the most effective. Does he need to play in a 10? No. But if your centre-backs are higher up and then he's picking up the ball around the halfway line, you turned, right, here we go. We're orchestrating. Reguilón now is a bit further forward. He can hit that deep cross, right? Or Brian Heal is waiting for the ball to go take his man on one-on-one, boom, boom, boom. Son's there lurking in around the edge of the box. Kane's there. Dele's on the bench. Moore is knocking about because, you know, if Moore picks up the ball in our own half, he'll have one run maybe in the game where he beats three players and he does something with it. But then there'll be other games where he'll make the run and he loses the ball on the halfway line. But that's because he started at the 18-yard box. Do you know what I mean? Like, give our players the best opportunity to do better. Are they going to necessarily... you know, bring a top four finish or whatever. Nah, like, that ain't going to be the way it's going to go. But we can do our best. Do you know what I mean? There's a comment here about we can't push up higher because we've got Bozo at the back. Let me tell you something. One thing a Bozo don't want to do is defend in his own box for 90 minutes. Because that's when you see Bozo really Bozo in. You get me?
Good stories.
So,
Romero.
Right. Keep it
Romero
up.
Waving his foot. Oh my god, we're cursed with centre backs. I kid you not. Do you know what? Let's just cut to the chase, right? Like yesterday and the first half against Chelsea did give me some optimism, just a little bit. And I tend to be pretty optimistic, but it's been depleted for the last season and a bit. We have looked better when we play some football, when there's interchange, when there's a bit of tempo in our game, when guys like Skip come out of their shell a little bit. He was breaking lines, he was dropping a shoulder, breaking off of people, all of that good stuff that we've all known that he has in his locker. But obviously new players coming into Tottenham Hotspur, especially academy prospects like a Harry Winks, as soon as you make a mistake and you hear the groans, you recess a little bit, you curl up a little bit. And I feel like he was doing that. Yesterday, away game, cup game, one opportunity to shine. You could see that he took the game a little bit more in his stride and just thought, fuck it, like, what do I have to lose? And we reaped the benefits of it. Obviously, Tongi struggled a little bit at times to assess the danger and all of that stuff, but he should never be the furthest man back in front of the back four. Especially when you've got two guys who haven't played together yet. So yeah, man, we saw some highlights. We saw some good aspects to our game, but by and large, it reverted to type. And we need to stop making mistakes that lead to direct shots on our goal, man. It's getting really, really tedious.
That's a really, really good segue, because obviously we had a game last night away at Wolves in the League Cup. Like I say, like we have the midfield players to actually keep the ball as well. When it comes to like not even having to put ourselves in that position to make these mistakes. And Ndombele, obviously we know how much we rate him. Skip coming out of his shell now, like you say. Højbjerg can look after the ball. Winks can do it as well when we're actually planning to play on the front foot. I know everyone's going to say it, but let's say what they're going to say, but he can. Lo Celso, I really don't know about him at the moment.
Tony.
He's gone.
Dele can't. Definitely can't do it now. I believe he used to be able to, but I really and truly, I tried, and I just don't believe he can. But yeah, we had a few changes in the lineup from that game, which barely existed to us. We had Golini in goal. Tanganga came back in at right back because he's not suspended. Romero, Sanchez came in left centre back. Ben Davis, I don't believe he's got a nickname yet, so I thought I'd name him by his full name. Gentle Ben. Gentle number three, Ben. Dele Alli, Skip, Tongi, Lo Celso, right wing. Harry Kane and Brian Hill in what looked like a narrow front three. First half of that. Who watched that game last night?
Yeah, I watched it.
Just saying that. Dave, what would you say from that? Like, after all the criticisms we've had of Nuno, we've had of Harry Kane, what did you make of that first half?
Again, it's like I said, it's patchy. You know, we play well for 25 minutes. We were creating stuff. We were controlling the game. The midfield was working. There wasn't much coming back from Wolves. We all know, you know, Traore wasn't on. Okay, he wasn't on the pitch. So they were going down the middle a bit more. Who's the kid they got up front? The tall one, the Portuguese. Well, the most of their team's Portuguese. Portugal, yeah. Well, actually, it was a Carabao Cup. It was like Portugal C. but yeah, it was a good start. It was definitely a good start, and we were 2-0 up. And I remember, you know, I was watching the game, and I said to myself, I went, "Do not concede before halftime." And true to form, Hotspur conceded before half time. The reason why I was scared about conceding before half time wasn't because I thought we didn't fall apart in the first half. I thought we'd hold on. But I don't trust Nuno at half time to do anything, to come out and dominate the first 10, 15 minutes and get control of the game back. Neither do I trust those players. Right? There's not enough of a strength, mentality, leaders, whatever you want to call it, to have that. One of the problems I saw with Romero and Sanchez, right? I think individually they have their pluses. And I didn't think Romero did too bad. You know, there was a lot of times where I saw him sweeping up play. You know, he was making the right decisions. Sometimes he was pressing, sometimes he wasn't, that kind of thing. But they're both physical defenders, right? We know Sanchez loves a shoulder barge.
He does, he does.
There was one time in the second half, right? The 2-1 down. You're one-on-one out wide. Okay, so you're in the channels. You're in the channels that you shouldn't be in, right? And my man
lunged
to a WWE move on the attacker, who literally was like, "Nah, Jed."
You know what? It's mad, yeah. Like, the thing about Sanchez is, you remember in Mortal Kombat they used to have the mini game where you used to mash X to do the test of strength. And if you didn't do it fast enough, you wouldn't get through the bricks. And they go, that's literally him. It's just, he skid on his head or fucking eat grass or Bambi legs. Like, the guy's a mess. When
I remember. I was thinking of those old WWE games. You know, if you'd actually be playing like one of your mates and you actually hit that reverse button at the right time.
Yeah,
and it would be those flawless reverses. That's what the opposition player did to
Davinson. He got him, and it's like he had like half a second where it looked like, okay, he's going to get away with this. And then it just flipped on him, and he was so exposed.
The worrying thing with Sanchez is when he focuses just on positioning and when he plays against players that are smaller than him, he's actually really good.
Yeah,
really good defender.
He's decent.
Like,
yeah,
because
yeah.
his reading of the game and his ability to assess when is the right time to engage is pretty good in those situations, because he knows that the risk of getting blown by is high. When he gets someone who's strong, he just goes, "Oh, do you even lift, bro?" and tries to get in an arm wrestling match. And it's like, fam, you're not wham like that. Like, just relax. Just relax. Use the slenderness and frame and all of that stuff. Drop off a little bit, man. Like, it's not that difficult, man. His assessing of situations at times is just really, really baffling.
The set pieces thing is weird. Like, we literally... I can't remember the last time I watched a game and I didn't fear set pieces. Like, you think about the Carabao Cup, we conceded in the final to a set piece. Obviously, last night, conceded in the first goal, set piece. How they managed to think that Ndombele was your best option on Dendonka, right? Like, Dendonka, literally, he has one... It's like Suchek, right?
Like, one job.
When it comes to set pieces, there's one job that Suchek has, and that's to try and get on the end of a flick-on, to cause the flick-on. What, like, he's involved. Maguire, he's involved. Dendonka, he's involved. Yeah? Like, every club has that one guy. Like, Toby used to be. Toby was involved in the set-piece moves. I mean, so why on earth have you put one, why have you put Ndombele there? But then two, Ndombele, really?
Like, it was so poor, but why?
Everyday flair. I can't think of someone put it in on Twitter. It's not everyday flair, man. Like, this is not FIFA Street trying to flick the ball from a corner. Like, nah, man. And again, you know, it's bad decision making. It's lack of concentration. The same for the second goal. Was it a foul? I think it was a foul on Ndombele. But still, like, he had the opportunity. I remember when I saw it, I thought, oh, he's just going to hit that pass that he hits, that you know, just whip it round to the right. He was kind of heading backwards, but I thought he was going to whip it round to who was playing right? Was it Tanganga? No. Yeah, it was Tanganga. Tanganga, like, made a little bit of a run forward, but he didn't. He held on to it too long, gets pickpocketed, and then just like, funny enough, Wolves under Nuno, if they hit you in the break, they're going to try to be clinical. And that's what they were, yes. They just took their chance. Do you know what I mean? So we're in that situation where, because we won on penalties, and like I said this in the group, now we're going to hear all the talk about, you know, it's so good, the club's got resilience, you know, our players fighting through, but we should never been in that position. Yes, we had a few chances to get to 3-2, 4-2, whatever, in the game. But again, that was when we played higher up the pitch. And I feel like I'm going to just sound like a broken record, because when we move higher up the pitch, Brian Heal, Son, Kane, Ndombele, they all look so much better. So Nuno, just literally take a picture, snap it, keep it in your highlights on Instagram. That's all you need. Just play higher. Come on, man. Like, that's what it has to do.
When we do push higher up the pitch, we need guys like Skip to basically just sit between the centre backs.
Yeah, just anchor it.
Because for Ndombele's goal, obviously, it's naive, isn't it? Like, it is what it is. I know, who was it? What, Gajia is flaming us to try and get us to what's it called? To slander man. But at the end of the day, that's a systemic problem. At the end of the day, like, the system isn't really set out to assess each situation that we get within the scope of a football match. Like, Skip just basically needs to make a back three with them two, man, because ultimately we don't have a natural left footer anyway. So there's always going to be the propensity for whoever's on that right-hand side to just try and cut in and force them into situations that they don't want to be in. So again, we need to start to pad out the way that we operate in those early phases of play and just protect our back four. Because ultimately, anytime I see Ndombele as a furthest man back, I'm like, they're going to double him and he's not going to give the ball back to the centre back, because neither one of these men can play football from what I've seen. So yeah, he's just going to try and do it himself and we're going to be fucked. And if I see that again, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, because, you know, like, Skip was doing that for Norwich last year. Skip was doing that in the England under-21s. Is it 21? Yeah, 21s. As much as they played rubbish as a team, his performances, you know, watching him, I was like, okay, I can see where he may fit into our team. I still don't think he needs to play every game. I'm happy that he got dropped for the Chelsea game, and I feel like we benefited from that yesterday. He came back into the team, and I was like, okay, cool, let me just stamp my authority on this. And he played well yesterday. He
was best player, bar Brian Hill.
Yeah, he seemed to really, like,
that boy's a bad
break free player. Well, Brian Hill. I think we should give a moment to Brian Hill, because he's ahead of Ali for me. He's ahead of Moura. He's ahead of Bergwijn, definitely.
Ali's a centre midfielder now, so...
But even in centre midfield, Brian Hill is a better player, okay? Yeah? Let's be real. Because even when... I think Brian Hill's first game, the Paco Rabanne fixture that we had, right? he sat in midfield for a bit and looked very, very tidy. Someone tweeted it. I wish I remembered which account it was. I was reading it earlier today. They're talking about his body positioning and how he receives the ball. That makes so much of a difference. Like, he can just turn and beat a man instantly. His decision making, he's always aware of what's going on beforehand.
Some techie, you man.
He's nuts. And when you look at some, there's a couple compilations now floating around Twitter. Makes me even more excited to see what we can do. But again, he needs to be used right. You know, and I feel like, I mean, I said this when we signed him, that Nuno's going to probably try to use him like he used Jota, that it's going to be that kind of outlet. And if you're going to do that, cool, fine. But then you've got Kane and then you've got Son. That's three players who can put pressure on the back line. Again, you need to play to their strengths. Because if you're going to sit back and let people hit your flanks and let them hit crosses, we got Arsenal next. And they're Beyonce FC, to the left, with Kieran Tierney up there doing his crossing thing. Do you know what I mean? So if we're going to just let that happen, then what happened last year with in North London Derby when Lamela got sent off, that same situation is going to happen again. And we're going to be under so much pressure with their crowd on our backs. And I don't see us having the mental resilience to cope.
The last thing on Brian Hill before we get to the Arsenal preview, I guess. Not to steal your segues, Owen, but has anyone seen Lego Movie? With Emmett, the little Lego character, Brian Hill, bro. He's got Lego hair. It's mad. But at least he's good with the balls, man. He's good at getting to the flat, getting to the byline, and just whipping them in. He can beat a man. He seems fearless. He plays interchange as well, which is good.
That plays to Kane's strengths. It's like a man that's going to take you around and take you down the outside, you know, get, you know, they say the old chalk on your boots.
Kane's not used to running to the near post anymore, though.
But that's what I'm saying. But the way I've noticed with Brian Hill, he crosses, he does that kind of loop cross. He loops it into the box, cut back, them kind of things. Kane and Son should be feasting off that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to work them into those positions intentionally.
Son has to play from the right from now on, though.
I was just thinking that. Will Nuno trust him from the right? That's the thing.
Who, Son?
Hill.
Bruv, why not?
I think he should. Definitely.
Moore is out. So,
Bergwijn's out as well, I believe.
Decision. Bergwijn's still out. Ali definitely can't play there. And Gio Lo Celso is now a ghost. So,
why not put Son on the right, though?
Oh, but Son, like, whatever you need to be.
I say Hill is basically shown that he's more effective from the left-hand side. Like, I think that much is apparent. And if Reguilón's going to play the way that he is, like, fucking hell, like, just let somebody who has the ability to actually play football play on that left-hand side. And then Son is ambidextrous with the feet, so... Why not play him on the right?
Son's got his moments on the right. And I swear, like, I think he started there against at home to Watford. I know we've tried this experiment this season with Nuno.
Yeah.
It's more Nuno's experiment because he has played on the right before several times for us. And I don't think Son had a good game at all that game. So it just makes me think that he may not try again, but who knows?
Let's just put it this way. He likes to put Højbjerg in. On the right-hand side of a three, mm-hmm. and he likes to play Tanganga on the right-hand side. So if Sun is playing from the right and inevitably is going to end up in central positions playing off of Kane, then we've got double the protection on that side. So it doesn't really, it doesn't hinder us on the defensive side. And Sun doesn't play D anyway, so I think it actually suits him better for him to be on the right-hand side because he's just going to float a bit anyway. He's basically got a free roll and has done since last season. So,
and okay, I'll save my next point for the derby preview.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the beautiful thing about having two former hosts now because I don't actually have to do any segues at all. Naturally. But no, I was only going to like say as well, from the midfield kind of on the size point, Højbjerg kind of picks itself now, I feel, because I think Højbjerg's definitely got to start. I noticed a lot of interplay between Skip and Ndombele
in that pivot
against Wolves. And I could, yeah, it looks like to me is like they rate each other. Obviously, Skip's going to rate Ndombele, but Ndombele seems to rate Skip back. Like, they were looking for each other quite often in midfield. So I feel like that has to be the play. Dele will have to touch bench for sure, in my opinion.
Got an assist though, man.
That assist was beautiful, but
it was lovely. But he's going to play.
He can't. I'm finished.
He will play.
No, to be honest,
he will play.
Then I might have to start and then up. But if it doesn't work. And to be fair, like Dele has had some really good performances in the past in midfield at the Emirates, many years ago though. To be fair, it's just not it.
His goals were not it now. Sexy against them though.
Mm. Even his performances deep in midfield, when he was asked to drop a bit deeper by Pochettino, like he really knew how to mix it up there, and it came off. I just don't see it.
You know what?
Skip was too good. Ndombele. Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, now I was going to say, as much as we get onto him, 70, 75 minutes, game's locked up. That's when you bring Dele on. That's where I think he may be effective in terms of getting some, you know, an assist like he got last night. You have to set up again. You have to set up the team around him and have the players on the pitch to get him the ball quick enough so that when he does his dilly-dally, kind of get a nutmeg, it doesn't hurt. Because let's be honest, you know, he's here for nutmegs and vibes. So, like, we need to make sure if he does come on and if you are playing him, like, you've got to accommodate for that, you know. So I think maybe that's where I see him. But I don't want him to start, but I reckon Nuno's one of them people that's going to just work people, you know. What is it? He's got, like, the record for pressing or whatever in our team or something rubbish like that.
If he doesn't play, we will all be surprised. Right. Whether he deserves to play or not, I think is pretty much sown at this point. Like, no one thinks he deserves to start. I don't think he's been as bad as other people, but that's just me, innit? Like, I think our whole team is shit. So, Dele being a little bit more shit than everybody else doesn't really say much to me. But
he's been worse for you.
Say that again.
Celso, he's been worse, would you say?
Lo Celso.
I'm not disagreeing with this, by the way. I just wanted to hear names.
Whew.
Definitely Lo Celso.
Oh, my God.
He's a ghost.
Yo, who is a better return on investment? Sissoko or Lo Celso?
Oh, my God. Wow. That's one for the polls, that is. Wow. As it stands for me, Sissoko.
30 mil on Sissoko looked like a bargain compared to this guy. I just put it that way. Because this guy has no role in this team.
Makes wings not like a single £40 million player, to be honest.
Like,
oh, I can't even argue with that. That's what's annoying. Oh, my life. I can't.
Did they sign Lo Celso before or after the Dybala links?
After, because it was an initial loan with some fee paid up front, and then they paid the full fee in that January.
Fucking hell. I'm trying to justify it. I'm trying to think, like, what was he like a bargaining chip to try and get Dybala to sign or some shit, like just Argentinian vibes, innit? But boy, oh boy, that guy's garbage. Like, I've not seen him really do anything. Literally, like, None of the comps have been relevant to his time in a Spurs shirt.
Yeah, he's a ghost.
Yeah.
He's a ghost.
Ghost of Eric Lamella.
Yeah, that's what those people have been saying. Like, it's, and people have been saying it for ages, and we were defending him, and damn, those legacy fans can be right about certain things, and it's annoying. But yeah, I guess we could get to the rest of the predicted lineup of the Spurs game. So obviously, I was going to do one on the right back, but I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory now. I feel like we'd all probably pick Tanganga.
100%. Yeah. If I see Emerson.
Oh, no, he's suspended. Tanganga's suspended. No,
yeah, I thought it was only one game.
Oh, is it one game?
I think so, because it was two yellows. Games.
He wouldn't have been able to play Carling Cup or whatever this cup is called.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mate, it was called Carling Cup last time and won it, mate.
I know. That's the only reason I ever remember that.
Before that,
I try and call it the League Cup, and then I realize it doesn't have.
I think you only win it when it changes its name. So,
mm-hmm. Worthington Cup for me then.
Yeah. I remember that. Jeez.
Are we trusting Romero?
Yes.
No.
Wow. No. Okay.
Our best performances this season, our most secure defensive showings have been with, as you like to call him, Eric Dier and Sanchez.
I feel like it was to stop myself doing Dier puns.
I've been saying this since last year, man. Even with Toby there, I was saying Sanchez and Dier, that's our best combination. Defenses are built on foundations, and so far Romero has not shown that he has any sort of understanding with either one of these guys. So stick with what we know works, tried and tested formula, or go with a back three. Otherwise, that guy don't have a place in the team either. Unfortunately, because 50 bags or whatever the slang for millions is. I'm old. I'm washed.
You know what? I said Romero, but I'm looking at the games we've got coming up because he doesn't have the connection, like you said. That's a very fair point. I would have put Romero and Dier, just because I don't get a good feeling about Sanchez in this game. I don't know why. Maybe it's a shoulder barge against Wolves.
Him on the left is terrible, but him on the right, nice. I think he
does. I think that doesn't help as well. It was also interesting, just going back to last night, Romero was trying to play those Toby passes. Bruh, know your game. Know your game, brother. That's not you. You're not that guy. Because obviously, we've seen Sanchez this year play a few of them kind of pings, whatever. So now Romero, it maybe just goes to show how predictable we are. That it's like only the right centre-back can play that pass or whatever. Like Romero got on the ball and he's like, yeah, and it would be always 5 yards. It was dropping 5 yards behind the player, as it were. Like, you know. Anyway, we've got in the league Villa and Newcastle coming up. So do you use those games to try and get Romero into some sort of form and shape? You know, after we got Moura or whatever their name is in the Conference League. You know,
Danny Ings for I don't fancy Romero in that. Can't lie.
Yeah, but then you've got, what's his name? Saint-Maximin coming down the middle. Because Saint-Maximin, he'll play everywhere. And once he sniffs a weakness, he's coming at you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so stick with what you know. Saint-Maximin has not done anything against us. I'm sorry. He's not done anything.
That's true. He hasn't. But Joel Linton has. Okay, so let's be serious about us against Newcastle, okay? Because for some reason, their worst players play like world class against us. You know, Joel Linton's got half his Premier League goals against Spurs, and they've all been good goals. Anyway, to North London derby, I think Diane Sanchez. I'll stick. We'll go with that.
Hey man.
The logic is there. Romero in the North London, in his first North London derby, away from home. If it does get a bit tough, he may not be ready for it just yet. Ryan Sanchez it is, I think. And then Reguilón. Reguilón against Saka or Odegaard or Pepe, you know, Pepe out there.
Yeah.
Is there a way for us to influence a decision to make Saka the penalty taker? Just give him
pens. Wow.
Just foul him in the box.
Well, you've already said it with your centre back pairing, I think. So yeah, they'll definitely get.
Yeah, there will be a contentious foul here and there, or a shoulder butt, something of the sort. What about midfield? What are we saying midfield?
Skip Højbjerg.
End on Tongi. Yep.
Is that only combo?
It's the only combination.
Yeah. Only combo.
The front three, interesting. I think Kane flanked by whichever side, Son and Hill. It has to be for me.
That's what I would love to see, but I think he will play Dele. But I would love to see Brian. I call him the fifth Beatle with his haircut, man. I love a winger who just looks to beat a player. Do you know what I mean? It's none of this inverted forward coming inside. He's like, no, I'm left-footed. I play on the left. he's a throwback in that respect, and he just gets on the ball. He's trying to get past the player, and he can cut inside, and he's always looking for an end product. Do you know what I mean? He's always looking for a shot or whatever. It's very refreshing to see, especially when you've got Dele Alli, who, again, is just nutmegs and vibes. Do you know what I mean? There's the other option, or Gio the Ghost. So I think it's good to have Brian in there, and I would, because, and this is what I was going to say earlier, who they got at right back, Tomiyasu.
Mm-hmm.
I match up. I want to see Brian Heal against Tomiyasu. Okay, or if they play Cedric, or, yeah, well, Bellerin's gone in it. Cedric on Maitland-Niles, he'll have Cedric on toast. He'll have Cedric on toast. So I want to see that take, because he's going to force your right back to come out wide into deep waters. Do you know what I mean? To touchline waters. So it'll be interesting to see how Tomiyasu fares there if Brian's on the pitch. If not, if it's Dele Alli or someone else who's cutting inside all the time, then your right back can just chill next to the centre back and just clog up the lane. Do you know what I mean?
So, that's what's interesting. That the front three, whichever combination we use, it needs to be interchangeable anyway. And I feel like Hill gives you the best of all scenarios paired with Kane and Son, because Kane is going to find himself on that left flank a lot. That's where he likes. He likes to see the pitch. He likes to do his glory balls, all of that shit. If Son is playing through the middle and Hill is sort of floating around, I feel like it gives us a good opportunity to see. Hill made like a really good center to sort of wide run last night. And Son managed to find him in behind. And I was like, I haven't seen anybody do that in years.
The last
time I vividly remember that was Lennon and Bale in a North London derby, making those runs the whole damn game. Finding space in the channels and just from wide, finding space in between the centre backs, and it was mental. We need that type of thing, because we are not creative enough to do little ticky tacker on the edge of the box.
Yeah, and the thing with Arsenal, they're in a similar fashion to us. They need a lot of things to go right for them to score, and they need just one thing to fall apart for them to concede.
Yep.
So you can play, your football doesn't even have to be that complicated to get past them. Like, just turn them around. Just dink a ball in the channel and ask Tomiyasu and Holden to make a decision who's going for it. Do you know what I mean? Run at a man. You know, put them under pressure, you know, expose their weaknesses, because both teams are in the mud at the moment. Do you know what I mean? I know they picked up a few points of late, but, you know, like, both teams have obvious glaring weaknesses, especially defensively. So go at them, you know, get a bit of energy on the pitch. Brian Hill is not going to be fearful of you know, playing at the Emirates. I reckon he's going to take to it. He'll probably go and rise to the occasion. You know what Son offers against Arsenal. We know Kane offers against Arsenal. He does like to score against them. And let's just see if we can punish him early on. in our first 25-minute spell that we have, you know.
We might score in the first
before
half.
We switch off.
If we score in the first half, mate.
The odds are going to be on the first half goal.
Speaking of odds, though, what do you think the odds are of, and I'm not a betting man, obviously, but if anyone does want to take an educated bet, bet that neither Tierney or Partey finish the game.
Ooh. Oh, that's yeah, that's
one of them's getting injured.
Yeah. Walking off during a counter attack.
Yeah, Tierney hasn't played a full season in his professional career, apparently. That's what the streets are saying.
And Partey Diaby is looking a bit funny in the light still.
Yeah, but no, it's gonna be a typical North London game. It reminds me of in Poch's last full season of the Champions League one, where we were horrid in the league, and we drew 1-1 with them. Like, it was a weird, gutsy, random performance in the middle of a bad, bad run, but we got a point. Do you know what I mean? And we got, and that's my prediction. I think 2-2. I can't call who's going to score first. I can't call the run of the goals. I can't even call the goal scorers. It might be like a Odegaard, El Neni, and, you know, Ali, and, you know,
Tomiyasu. Definitely Tomiyasu.
Yeah, Tomiyasu will score. You know, I can't call it. I don't know enough, you know, to see who's informed that going into this game, you would back them, you know, from like a fantasy football standpoint, as it were. But yeah, I think 2-2, because I feel like it's that kind of game where both teams aren't necessarily on the greatest run. It's been a tricky start to the season, but they'll kind of just equally each other out. And there won't be penalties to save us this time.
That's what I mean. We don't usually get these results at the Emirates, not in recent times anyway, but no. I'm quietly confident we'll at least get a result. I think 2-2 was my previous prediction, but now I'm thinking a 2-1 win for Spurs away. We can get it done. That was my thing about segues as well. Like, you went straight to the predictions. I just sat back and thought on it, and I've probably overthought it now. So thank you.
I think I'm on the fight card tomorrow, so I'm saving some of my fuck'em energy for tomorrow. Do you know what? I'm gonna sit on the fence for now and say, yeah, it's a 1-1. I think it's actually a scoreless draw is actually what I think is going to happen. I think it could potentially. Yeah. I'm going to go with that. It's a 0-0. It's a 0-0. Mm. Most uneventful North London derby of all time.
Nil, nil.
Two supply teachers going hammer and tong to not score any goals. That's what it's going to be.
Jesus Christ. I'm just hoping we score in the first half. Oh, God.
I can't remember a 0-0.
I don't. I'd have to go on the deep Googles for that one.
Nostradamus. That's what they're calling me next week.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Man.
I feel like we've... there we go. I think we covered most of that, boys. We got our predictions in. We got, obviously, the massive game on the weekend, just a slight housekeeping. A side touched upon it just there. If you are listening or watching the stream right now, we'll catch the YouTube before Friday evening, so tomorrow evening. We do have the fight card on. Sai and someone else will be looking to go on. I know who it is. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to reveal the name.
I wish he was here so he could point to the camera and go, touchy gooners, we coming for you. Let the Booker T segment, for those of you that don't know.
Come on. Obviously, a fair few of us are going to be on the Discord on the weekend as well, which should be a hotly contested game. If you were there for the last Discord on the North London Derby, then you know. And obviously, we've got this podcast, which will be out on the Saturday morning. So obviously, that will still be before the game itself. So make sure you check that out. And yeah, we look forward to a very eventful weekend. Dave, Sai, you've been great hosts. I've been great. I've been happy just to sit back and chill. And
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. My energy is a low, to be honest. So I've just been making sure I don't cramp up after football. And again, listening to your beautiful voices, it's been fun. And yeah, on behalf of the new Spurs order, we bid you a good evening and a fond farewell.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.